This is KERA News. I'm Jeff Whittington. Now to our One Crisis Away project and a new study showing the harsh impact that growing up in a poor neighborhood has on a kid's development. Researchers in Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin found the number of children living in high poverty neighborhoods surged during the Great Recession. I talked with Rice University sociologist Rachel Kimbrough about why the kids living in those neighborhoods were already a year behind their peers before they even started school. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the basics. What makes a neighborhood a high poverty neighborhood?
We define a high poverty neighborhood as one where 40% or more of residents live below the poverty line.
And some of these neighborhoods were defined as mid-poverty and low poverty, but they're all poor neighborhoods.
Exactly. They're all the sort of environment where we might worry about where that kid is living.
Your study examined the years between 1998 and 2010. Why was that time period important?
Our study used two different cohorts of U.S. kindergartners, one who started kindergarten in 1998 and one who started in 2010. Because we had those two cohorts of kindergartners in that time period, it allowed us to look at children's living circumstances and school readiness both before and after the Great Recession.
Sort of a happy accident.
Exactly.
And you found that more children and their families were living in high poverty neighborhoods in 2010 than were in 1998, even kids whose families weren't necessarily poor themselves. How did that happen?
So we think that it really demonstrates the reach of the Great Recession. Families who normally would not live in high poverty neighborhoods either had to move into them because of foreclosure or job loss, or moderate or middle income neighborhoods became poor neighborhoods because many of the residents lost income.
What happens to a child's school readiness when they move into a poor neighborhood?
One of the reasons we were so concerned to see the increase in the number of children living in high poverty neighborhoods was because we found that they were a full year behind their peers when they started kindergarten.
Why do you think that is?
We know that there are resources in neighborhoods that are important for child development, and that could include things like churches or Head Start centers or libraries. And so when kids live in neighborhoods that don't have those kinds of resources, that can set them back academically.
How many more kids were living in high poverty neighborhoods at the end of the study in 2010 than in 1998?
If we look at it in terms of all kinds of poverty neighborhoods, we find that in 1998, 36% of children lived there, and it had risen to 43.9% by 2010.
So 3 out of every 10 kids was living in a poor neighborhood, and at the end of the study period, it was getting closer to 5 out of every 10 kids.
That's right.
And this is across the country?
This is nationwide.
How do these trends affect kids of color?
What we found was that the kids who had the highest gains in terms of living in high poverty neighborhoods were actually white children and children whose families were not poor. Now, it's important to remember, though, that minority children are much more likely to live in high poverty neighborhoods. It's just that the change during the recession happened to be bigger for white kids and for non-poor kids. High poverty neighborhoods shifted geographically in terms of where they are. So they were no longer concentrated just in urban areas. They spread out more into the South and into the Midwest, where the demographics are just different. So it really kind of spread out across the country.
Did your research uncover any potential solutions to this issue?
Right now, children are often targeted for intervention services after they arrive into the school system, so maybe pre-K or kindergarten. But they often are targeted based on family characteristics like income. And we argue that targeting entire neighborhoods has the potential to help a lot more children.
And what would those interventions look like?
One of the things that we suggest is that more Head Start centers are located and opened in high poverty neighborhoods to try and reach those children before they get into the school system.
Rachel Kimbrough is a sociology professor at Rice University's School of Social Sciences and founding director of the Kinder Institute's Urban Health Program. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
Thanks for having me.